from 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 through 11. His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Crystal. And I forgot to mention earlier that our praise band is taking a rest today. So don't worry, they will be back next week, but hopefully you enjoyed our videos this morning. We've been talking the last several weeks about goal setting and, you know, turning over new leaves, because this is a time of year when we put a lot of stock into imagining what it might look like to become our best selves. So regarding New Year's resolutions, on January 1, people join gyms, they download budgeting apps, they start a devotional, and they promise themselves, this is the year I am going to make this change. And by day 11, most of us are falling back into old habits and patterns. And the reason for that, we've been talking about this over the last few weeks, the reasons why that happens to us is because, one, we are not training first for the things that matter most. Two, we do not have a support system for accountability. Three, you're not taking the time to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And four, you're not taking the time to detox from things like bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, you know, those things that hinder our progress. And today we're going to talk about another reason, and that is that your life is not formed by your intentions. Your life is formed by your habits, your disciplines. Now, we all have various disciplines that we exercise, you know, and it may be physical disciplines, it may be spiritual disciplines, it may be mental disciplines, maybe a little bit of all the above. So I want to define real quick spiritual disciplines. Okay, so spiritual disciplines are the habits and rhythms prescribed in Scripture as the means of grace provided by Christ in order to know Him more, grow in grace, and experience deep joy. The habits and the rhythms. Now, these don't come natural to us at first, because we all suffer from a condition called sinful nature, right? We are bent towards drifting away from what God is calling us to be and to do. And so we have to intentionally create the habits and rhythms in our lives and persevere in them if we're going to know Christ, grow in grace, and experience deep joy, if we're going to become a healthy reflection of Him. Now, we know that there are many spiritual disciplines, so study and prayer are probably the two most foundational spiritual disciplines. We have stewardship disciplines, you know, where we steward our time and our talents, our treasures. We're recognizing that all we are and all that we have comes from God first. We have corporate disciplines. Confession, worship, guidance, celebration, that we are learning what it looks like to not just be an individual, but also a redeemed people. Rest is also a spiritual discipline. Practicing the Sabbath, embodying this idea that God has given us a rhythm of life, that we are to work 6 days a week and rest on the seventh, and not just to recharge our batteries, but to become people who trust God. You know, that we know our world is not going to fall out of orbit when we take our hands off the things so that we can focus on Him. And that last one seems like one we should be able to easily incorporate into our lives, yes, especially when we get older. We really value our rest and our sleep when we get older, not like when we were kids and we're just little balls of energy running around. We think that should be an easy one, but is it? Is it really? Because I think most of us are really terrible at this. We live in such a fast-paced, super busy society that some of us have actually forgotten how to stay still. You know, there's always something to do. There's always a distraction. Our kids have trouble handling being bored. So even building that rhythm takes intentionality. So it's no wonder that the rest of them are so challenging to weave into the fabric of our everyday lives. All of these disciplines should not be viewed as obligations or burdens that weigh us down. They are gifts that God has given us so that we can experience Him deeply. And yet, they need to be developed. They don't come natural to us. And if we develop these habits and rhythms of giving and serving, worshiping and study into our lives, it should get the heart of our spiritual lives pumping and make us more fit for the kingdom, make us more godly, and that will actually help grease the gears of the other areas of our lives. You know, we'll experience greater vitality in our relationships, in our physical and emotional health. And on the flip side, if we're not doing these things, we're not going to be productive. We're going to be exhausted and overwhelmed all the time. And like I've been saying these last few weeks, it's going to negatively impact the other areas of life because all those facets of health are interconnected with each other. So Peter writes to believers who want to grow, but they're not exactly sure how. Where do they begin? They too are trying to break old habits and build better ones. But they're stuck, just like we are. So he tells them, His divine power has given us everything required for life and for goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort. So in other words, God supplies the power. He has given us what we need. We supply the participation, the practice. You know, God produces spiritual growth in us, but our habits create that environment where growth happens. And then Peter gives us what almost reads like a spiritual training progression. And it kind of looks like this. Can we go to the next slide, Chris? Okay, so let's talk about each of these qualities and what these habits produce. So the first one is faith. Faith is trusting God enough to follow Him, even when we are uncertain of the path. So habits that build faith, we know, are daily interaction with the Scriptures, you know, consistent prayer, corporate worship, recognizing and giving thanks for all the blessings that God has given us. Faith grows when those things are exercised. And then we develop goodness, choosing what reflects God. Some translations use the word virtue or moral excellence. The Greek word carries the idea of a life that is noticeably aligned to the character of God. So goodness has us ask questions daily like, does this choice honor Christ? Does this reflect integrity Would I make the same decision if no one was watching me? And from there, we develop knowledge. And Peter isn't talking about just head knowledge. He's not talking about, you know, short circuit. Remember short circuit when he's reading through the books and he says more input? It's not that kind of knowledge. It's the kind of knowledge that comes from walking closely with God. Because the danger for most of us believers is that we can be incredibly spiritually busy and still be spiritually shallow. Just like relationships deepen with ongoing interaction, the same is true with God. Through daily interaction with the Scripture, not just reading it, but interacting with it, we begin to learn what God values, what moves the heart of God, what He has promised, what He has warned us against. And slowly, our instincts begin to change. We start recognizing counterfeit voices. We become less easily deceived by the enemy and by the culture. Our discernment sharpens. And so you see, as you develop each of these qualities, you develop more capacity to train for the next one. You know, I'll give you another example of how this happens. I could not do push-ups until I first developed the rhythm of lifting weights because I had zero upper arm strength whatsoever. I couldn't do a push-up if my life depended on it. So I had to start first by picking up those little 2-pound weights and lifting those. And then I upgraded to 3-pound weights and then 5 and then 8 and now 10. And now I can do 5 push-ups. Yay me. Not really. But it's a slow progression. You have to develop a rhythm of something in order to train for the next thing, okay? So having faith helps us strive for goodness. Goodness begets knowledge. Knowledge begets self-control. Self-control is choosing what matters most over what feels good in the moment. And that is not self-automatic. You build it through habits and rhythms. So like when you open your Bible instead of scrolling through your phone, when you pray instead of panicking, when you forgive instead of retaliating, you're exercising self-control. And every time you do this, you are doing spiritual reps. You are building spiritual muscle. Then you develop a capacity for perseverance. Anyone can start a habit, all right? But habits only produce breakthroughs by staying in the game after the hype has fizzled out, when the work gets challenging, when the conflicts arise. Perseverance is what separates emotional faith from durable faith. The Christian life is not a sprint of inspiration. It is a marathon of formation. And then we develop godliness. When Jesus starts showing through you, you know, as you develop these qualities, people start to notice things about you. They say, wow, you handled that a lot better than I would have. You know, you have amazing patience, or, you know, you carry peace that I wish I could have, or your optimism is positively infectious. Why? Because habits quietly shape our identity. And then we develop mutual affection, and that is the quality that moves a church from just merely being a gathering to being a family, to be in the body of Christ. The word Peter uses points to brother and sisterly love, a genuine care that shows up in practical ways. You know, it's more than just being friendly to each other on Sunday morning. It's the kind of love that notices when one of us is missing. You may have looked around this morning and was like, oh, I haven't seen them in a while. I hope they're okay. That's what he's talking about. You know, it's the kind of love that steps in when someone is hurting. You know, that celebrates when someone is thriving. Mutual affection is formed through consistent spiritual rhythms because the more we walk with Jesus, the more our hearts begin to reflect His. We grow less focused on us and more attuned to the needs of others. So it looks like choosing patience instead of irritation, carrying one another's burdens, refusing to engage in gossip. And then we develop the capacity for love, which is the ultimate evidence. Notice Peter doesn't end with success or knowledge or influence. He ends with love because that is the end goal. The goal of spiritual discipline is not becoming a better version of ourselves, but a reflection of Jesus' love. And if our habits aren't producing a greater capacity for love, then we are training for the wrong race. So you might be thinking, yes, I want to develop these qualities. I want to be a healthy, productive, grace-filled person. I want to be better this year than I was last year. It's just so much easier said than done, right? Developing the muscle, the habits, and the rhythms, it's not as easy as it sounds. And you are absolutely right. It is not as easy as it sounds. Hopefully you've noticed that I'm using words frequently here, like over time, gradual, marathon, developmental. I think we've all wondered, why is it so hard to develop a good habit and stick with it? And why is it so hard to break a bad one? And there are a few reasons why this happens. I'm going to talk about a few of them and just the antidote to those. One of the reasons it's difficult for us is because we focus more on the outcome than who we want to become. We tend to pursue outcome-based habits rather than identity-based habits. James Clear wrote a book called Atomic Habits. I highly recommend this book. In it, he says, part of the reason why our attempts to change or improve never last, or why our endeavors fall away, is because we focus more on what we want rather than who we want to become. We're all about achievement more than we are about formation. And we need to flip that, because identity is the formation of who we are. So you're more likely to implement change in the long term if, instead of saying, I want to read my Bible in a year, you started saying every day, I'm becoming a deeply devoted disciple. You know, if you focus just on the reading the Bible in a year part, you know, the outcome, you're going to find yourself daily battling the obstacles to fit this outcome into your already busy schedule. But if you instead started every day saying, what does a deeply devoted disciple do? Well, that's going to shape the decisions you make, your priorities. Another thing that James says we do is we tend to focus more on the goal than we do the system. And that's key, because we strive for the goal. The system is the catalyst, right? But instead, we're focused on the goal. So really, it is more important to focus on the system, how we're going to get there. Because it is in the system that you're going to develop the habits or the rhythms that help you sustain in the long term. Another reason why it's difficult for us is because we try to change everything at once. Right? When we want to make changes in our lives, one of the greatest mistakes that we make is we try to treat it like an extreme makeover in an unreasonable amount of time. A popular New Year's activity is to create a vision board. Any of you ever made a vision board or seen a vision board? You know, you get all these magazine clippings or pictures of things, you know, you would like to see happen in your life in the coming year, and you turn it into this collage, all right? But then when you take a step back and look at the entire vision board, you see that you want a lot of things to change in a short amount of time, and you put some unreasonable pressure on yourself doing that. We say Rome wasn't built in a day, right? Our bodies are temples, dwellings of the Holy Spirit. They are not built in a day. So we try to say, okay, starting January 1, I'm going to start every morning in prayer. I'm going to read my Bible 30 minutes a day. I'm going to work out another 30 minutes a day. I'm going to become debt-free. You know, for most Americans, becoming debt-free in a year is a very tall order. You know, maybe you want to become an author. Maybe that's always been a dream of yours, and this is the year. I'm going to write my book. I'm going to write a book in a year. That is a very tall order. So we make our vision boards, and on January 1, we're like, carpe diem, let's do this thing. And then by February 1, we're shut up in our closets eating Reese's peanut butter cups and wondering what is wrong with us, right? Why can't we just get it together? It's too much change. to attempt at once. Small habits practiced consistently beat dramatic changes attempted occasionally. They will produce greater dividends in the long haul. James Clear also says if you focus on improving an area of your life by just 1% each day, if each day you just add on 1%, you will achieve a 37% improvement. So in the day-to-day, it may not seem like you're moving that needle at all. But then you get to the end of the year and you look back and go, wow, like I really did make progress in this area. A 37% improvement is far better than nothing because you took on too much and gave up trying after a few weeks. You're more likely to achieve lasting results this way. He says habits are the compound interest of improvement. They're also the compound interest of destruction. That's the difference between a good habit and a bad habit. So, for example, if I set a goal to work out 1 hour a day, again, that's a tall order, all right? If you go from somebody who doesn't work out at all to working out 1 hour a day, you're putting an unreasonable amount of pressure on yourself. But let's just say, hypothetically, I do that. But then I get busy. I'm busy all the time. And, you know, I get distracted. The list keeps regenerating. And I find myself at the end of each day going, well, okay, I guess I'm not going to get to my workout today. Maybe better luck tomorrow. What if instead I get to the end of the day and I say, how much time do I have left? I have 15 minutes. Okay, I'm going to give 15 minutes. If that's all I have to give, I'm still going to show up and do the work. Okay, because that 1% a day increase, when practiced consistently, will still produce results. Maybe you start doing 20 reps a day, and then the next day, you say one more rep. The next day, one more rep. You start small and stay faithful, and you will see change. Another reason we struggle with forming good habits and breaking bad ones is we expect immediate results. This is where most of us hang it up, because we pray for a week, but we don't hear God. We read scripture every day for a month, we still don't understand it. We walk every day for a few weeks. We don't feel any different. Peter reminds us that growth is cumulative. Verse 8, he says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. Did you get that? Increasing measure. Gradual. Layered. Over time. So we should not despise slow formation. When you think about it, God has done his best work over long periods of time. And you're probably thinking, yeah, but he built the world in 7 days, right? But also, look at how long it took him to usher in the Messiah and how long it's taking him to usher in the new heavens and the new earth. It's a long time. This is best work, right? So we should not despise slow formation. Peter gives a sober warning. He says, whoever does not have these qualities is nearsighted and blind. You know, drifting is the direction of the unattended life, the one that resigns to the reality of life as we know it because change is so challenging. So if you don't attend to those qualities, those disciplines, I can assure you, you are not going to drift into holiness. You're going to drift into comfort, complacency, atrophy, which is why rhythms matter. They anchor us when emotions fluctuate. So instead of asking, what dramatic thing can I do for God? You know, maybe ask yourself, what sustainable rhythm can I walk with Jesus in? If you go from never reading your Bible to saying, I'm going to read the Bible in a year, let me just tell you, reading the Bible in a year requires you to read 1 to 8 chapters a day, okay? And that can prove to be difficult some days. I'm not discouraging you from doing that. If you're aspiring to do that, you go. But just know, some days it's going to be hard to finish the challenge. And if you manage to get through it, you know, as somebody new to the Bible, if you manage to get through that much content in a short amount of time, you're probably going to spend most of your time just surface reading, just skimming through it to get the work done. And then you're going to get to the end of the year and say, I read my Bible in a year, and God's going to say, that's awesome. What did you learn? And you're going to go, because it was a lot, right? Maybe start with something that is sustainable but meaningful. You know, maybe if you start with just one verse a day, if that's all you can do to allow yourself the time to sit with it, chew on it, wrestle with it, do that. And if all you add is 1% each day, you know, you might not finish the Bible in a year, but you're still going to look back and you're going to see that God did amazing things in that time and you grew. And that's going to be meaningful. Peter ends with this incredible assurance. If you do these things, you will never stumble. He doesn't say you will never struggle. He doesn't say you will never suffer. But he says you will never ultimately fall away. Why? Because we become what we repeatedly practice, even if it is just 1% more each day. Habits root you in life with eternal applications. He says you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. Church, we are not training just to have a better year. We are training for eternity. Imagine a church where people are not just driven by spiritual mood, you know, how they feel in the moment, but that they are grounded in spiritual rhythms, where prayer is natural, where scripture is open daily, where love is reflexive and faith is resilient. That kind of church does not just drift into that. It is not built in a day. It is built one day at a time, one moment at a time, one habit at a time. So hear Peter's invitation again. Make every effort. Not to earn God's love, because you already have it. He's already given you what you need. Now step into the rhythms that will shape the person you are becoming. Because in Christ, you are not just forgiven. You are being formed. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you today, grateful that through your divine power, you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. You love us just as we are, and you also love us too much to leave us unchanged. So, Lord, shape us. Teach us to choose what forms us rather than what merely comforts us. Build within us the qualities your servant Peter described. Goodness that reflects your character. Knowledge that deepens our trust. Self-control that steadies our steps. Perseverance that keeps us faithful when the road is long. Godliness that makes us look more like Jesus and less like us. Mutual affection that binds us together as family. And above all, love, the mark of a true disciple. Lord, protect us from the lie that transformation should be instant. Give us patience to submit to your lifelong work within us. When growth feels slow, remind us that you are still moving. When discipline feels difficult, strengthen our resolve. And when we stumble, lift us with your grace and set us back on the path. Create in this church a holy rhythm, a people grounded in your word, faithful in prayer, generous in spirit, quick to encourage, and ready to carry one another's burdens. Make us the kind of community where no one walks alone. As we leave today, give us courage to begin, not with grand promises, but with small, faithful steps, reminding us that every seemingly small act of surrender is shaping us into who you want us to be, and finish the good work you have started in us. May our lives grow increasingly fruitful and effective for your kingdom until the day we receive that rich welcome into your eternal presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.